Blog Talk Radio.
Cops used to come around, you know, in my neighborhood. All right, you kids, stop having so much fun. Move along. Oh, they'd arrest me, you know, especially at night. They have a curfew, right? Niggas have to be home by 11, Negroes 12. And you'd be trying to get home, you know, doing your cool runs. They always would catch you out in front of a store or something. Because you'd be taking shortcuts, right? Cops. Put your hands up, black boy.
I don't wanna hurt nobody. We just came here to party. See a few dames, exchange some names. I'm a top shot, the kid, stay in your lane. The cop shot the kid, same old thing. Pour out a little liquor, champagne for pain. Slap boxing in the street. Crack the hydrant in the heat. Cop cars on the creek, doing they roundups. We just watch for the sweet. Yeah, it's hotter than July. It's the summer when niggas die. It's the summer when niggas ride. Together we'll be strong, but forever we divide. So y'all are blowing my high. Type of shit that's killing my vibe. White kids are brought in alive. Black kids getting hit with like five. Get scared, you panic, you going down. The disadvantages of the brown. How in the hell the parents gonna bury their own kids, not the other way around? Reminds me of Emmett Till. Let's remind them why Cap Neal.
Stay tuned up and down your timeline. This fake news, people, is all lying. Money is being made when a mob cries. Won't be satisfied till we all die. Tell me who do we call to report crime. It's 911 doing a drive-by. It's certain things I can't abide by. I ain't being extreme, this is my side. Talking big shit, ready to die. I know every story got two sides. Claiming he paranoid by the black guy. Cop wanna make a home by nighttime. Just a good kid, he wasn't that guy. Had a little hit, he wasn't that high. Cop gon' claim that it was self-defense. Say he was riding dirty, so the case rent. Working 9 to 5. Trying to stay alive. Making ends meet. Shot him this week.
That don't need no makeup when they wake up. For the ones who rockin' lace fronts, you know, I ain't gon' say nothing. Hashtag me your single. You fresh off the breakup. For the introverts. No, we don't gotta say much. If you feel free, then you should live your life. Real love, less friends. So many things in this world I don't understand. I won't judge who you love or your brown skin.
Yeah. don't get caught up in the glow. And I don't know it all, but I see as I grow. Can't take the pain away, cause it's in my soul.
If you feel free, then you should lift your hands. Wanna shake it, baby, like I know you can. So many things in this world I don't understand. I won't judge who you love or your mouth.
If words was crack, we would have the most potent shit around. If words is weed, then we got them by the pound. Get high with us tonight as Drip the Mic has found the perfect host to bring our good folks that sound. Every Tuesday it goes down. Your man Hezekiah has broken ground on the Drip the Mic Network, and he brings the Author's Lounge. This is where we meet and greet. Man, Drip the Mic don't compete. No need to be consumed with greed or dishonesty. We lead, uplift, and discuss as our need is to bring verbal muscle to the struggle and hustle to keep dropping digital and paperbacks for the world to read. The Author's Lounge, going up on a Tuesday. As he runs the mic, quarterback-like genius when he writes, and he picks his words Tuesday. This script could not have been better written in a movie. A good friend, Hezekiah, has moved in, then committed to moving in our circle and blessing us with his proven pen. Prioritize tuning in 6 p.m. Central and Eastern at 7 p.m. and listen in, because we be going in, and we would love for you to share this experience. Delirious shenanigans accompanied with verbal adjectives. Praising words like they are gods, broken down into nouns, verbs, predicates, and adjectives. Since I learned of the days when, like, baseball cards, our melanin displayed us as property for trade, I prayed never again will we be a slave. So I behave as if I'm a human paraphrase. Learn to enunciate, ad-lib, and use my scribe to communicate. And today, the Artist Lounge provides a stage for like-minded kings and queens of the literary community, other artists, and those who create to explore. The Drip the Mic Hotel has opened the doors, as the next 2 hours you endure will be free of commercials, non-judgmental, and impartial, with Hezzy holding it down like Thurgood Marshall. Ladies and gentlemen, kings and queens, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Author's Lounge with your host and my man, Hezzy, in the building.
Good evening, everybody. I'm sorry about the miscommunication, but I want to welcome y'all to the Author's Lounge tonight. We got a great show tonight. I want to introduce my first guest, man. I've just been just watching him on Facebook, and he just been grinding and just doing his thing, man. And I'm just inspired by just watching him do his business. And I was gonna say his bio tonight, but I'm gonna let him introduce himself and tell you all about himself. Mr. Hawk Mosley Jr., are you on the line?
Good. Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm great, man. Great.
That's great, man. So go ahead and tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Damien. They call me Hawk. Got that name growing up. you know, my dad's name was Big Hawk or Hulk, and you know, just in the streets, coming up as a kid, grinding and doing all the stuff I wasn't supposed to do. I just took on that name, Lil Hulk, until I got old enough, and then it became just Hulk. It's been a journey. Man, a little bit of everything. If you can think it, I've pretty much seen it and done it. You know, growing up in poverty to, you know, abusive household, prison, jail, juvenile, all the way to now where I am now.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your experience in jail and how you was, you know, when you got out, how you had your mindset to do what you was going to do when you got out.
That's one of the toughest parts, man, is having a changed mindset. You know, going in, I was facing a stiff sentence. I was given a sentence of 8 years. I did 7 years and 3 months in that sentence. You know, my own family turned against me on that one. Got on the phone and testified against me, and I ended up getting another 8 years. So I went in bitter, you know, thinking people owed me loyalty and, you know, to stick by my side. It took me a long time to get rid of that bitterness, man. But being on the inside, it was I kind of carried it like it was, you know, just another day on the streets, you know, grinding, trying to make it from day to day. You know, you see, you hear, and then you don't see, you don't hear. So I just made it survival mode, you know. And, man, they used to preach to me this one thing that always stuck with me, man. They used to always preach, you know, in order to get changed, you got to change your people, your places, and your things along with your mindset. So that's, you know, I kept thinking, I said, that's one of the things that helped me thrive in my life. So, you know, I finally made that move and not with the right move. You know, I decided to come to the 757 when I got released in April of 2016. And I kept telling my guys in prison, like, I ain't going back home, man. You know, I'm going to do something different. So, you know, everybody kind of expects you to go back down that road, you know, come back home, get quick money and whatever you do. But I just knew that my next one was going to be a life sentence. So I had to make change. And that change came right at the end of my bit, like the last year, last 6 months, man. I just, well, when I tell you I had to pray on that thing, I was so bitter, man. I you know, I had all these thoughts and all these things I wanted to do. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to end right back up in here. And, you know, that catapulted me to change my mind.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your business and how you got started with your business.
Yeah, with the business part of it, man, I worked my way Kroger. I was home for 6 months, no job. I kept going by Kroger. The white lady, Pauline, she was the manager, and I just kept going by. She's like, we don't hire felons, you know, better off getting the construction job, but I kept going by for like a whole month. And then this lady finally called me in. She was like, look, I'm going to give you a chance. She gave me a chance, man. Started in the dairy department 2 weeks. 2 months later, I worked my way up to a dairy manager, and it was, you know, it was down from there. I was making good money, but long story short, I had another manager placed over top of me. And that manager was just, that was a piece of work. Just, you know, disrespectful and not, you know, appreciating my work that I did. So I just woke up one morning, man, and I got tired of the grind of, you know, making an already rich company even richer. And I don't know, I put my 2 week notice in, and, you know, one thing always stick with me. My boss said, hey, what you going to do if you fail? I said, you know, I failed when I went to prison. So it's no such thing as failing. So from that point on, I worked my 2 weeks out and rounded up the last two checks. And I said, yeah, you know, I used to like doing lawn care before. So, you know, I just dabbled and dabbled in there a little bit. But then it was time to get serious. So I dropped my job and I went, you know, Walmart, Home Depot, bought me a mower, a weed eater, whatever, all that good stuff. And I just started. I didn't know what I was doing. Door to door. $25,000 my first year, and it was just on from there. You know, I had that mindset. I got to grind just like I did on the street. Yeah, so all right, can you hear me?
So let me ask you this question. Can you, like, sure, tell us how it was being a black male coming out of jail and getting your business started?
Yeah, it was rough, man. You know, even though I spent the time locked up, people still make me pay. Even to this day, man, I feel like I pay for it in different ways. And from the opposite race all the time. You know, people just, they know your passion is theirs out there. Some people want to deal with you, some people don't. But, you know, I got the mindset of a hustler, but I tell anybody, I change the product and I change my client base. But I hustle like I'm on the street. I give a card, I give a hanger to anybody I come in contact with. But getting started was as easy as, you know, going down and get my LLC. I was told I couldn't do it. I was told I got felonies. They're going to make it hard on me, this and that. And I'm like, all right, well, they got to tell me no. And I went down there, downtown. It took me a whole day, but I got it. And from then on, I was like, I never let nobody tell me I can't do it again. And from there, you know, it's been a building process, building my name, my brand. So, it's been uphill battle, but it's been good.
That's awesome. So what do you see you and your business 5 years from now?
Oh, man. I actually have an eight-year plan, eight-year goal, that's what I call it. But my vision is, man, to go into a multi-million dollar business. I'm going to have, you know, multiple incomes coming in. I want to have two or three businesses within the next 5 to 8 years. I want to expand in myself and my business. And I can't say that I do it alone. I have a great woman by my side, and she helps a lot. And I got good people around me. Having good people around is what it takes to be able to sustain, especially when you got a background. So
that's awesome. Man, you know, because, you know, growing up, you know, in a small town in Lynchburg, we really didn't have much. And everything that we do, you know, we pretty much got in trouble.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You know, and finally decide to grow. When did you finally decide that you needed to go a different direction in life?
I tell you the honest God truth, man. It was that last 6 months to a year, man, where I finally realized this last bit. Like, I've been down the road before, you know, as a juvenile, as an adult, you know, seeing my life flash before me, being robbed, you know, being shot at, all this stuff I've been through. And then it's like, man, do I want to keep going through this? You know, do I want to keep living this life? So, I had to make that change, man. I don't want to go back inside those walls. I want to be prosperous. I want to be blessed. So it's a mindset. Every day I have to wake up with a changed mindset. It get hard some days. You know, that money don't come fast like hustling money, but you got to tell yourself, hey, you know, I'm out here. I'm free.
So true. So true. So while you was down the road, your wife stuck by you?
Well, man, she's my ex now, but it was an on and off thing. You know, I told her from the beginning, you know, it's gonna be a long way to stay home. You know, go ahead, I'm good, but you know, I pretty much did my bit by myself, man, and that's what I'm most proud of myself about, man. It's losing that bitterness towards everybody who wasn't there for me, because I basically did my bit by myself. You know, family, friends, all the people I partied with and looked up to or whatever, you know, they weren't there. And I'm like, okay, I can't be mad at them. Like, they ain't put me in there. You know, they ain't put me in that position. Even though, you know, they'll party with you, they'll do things with you when you're on the street, but out of sight, out of mind, man. So
Oh, yeah, I know, because once you behind them bars, you on your own.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and that's how a lot of guys lose their mind in there, man. Like, they look disgusting to their mind, and they get so bitter, and it's like that's all they know is going back. You know, some people can't come out here and you know, correct their mindset and do what I did, but I don't think I'm better than nobody else. I just push harder each day. Try to get somebody else to know, you know, they can do it. I did it.
Definitely, definitely. So, are you still in Lynchburg? Are you currently living in Lynchburg?
No. That was my downfall city. So I promised myself I would never go back to Lynchburg. Man, I go back and visit. I got family there, but yeah, I'm in the 757. I'm happy here. This is where I've been since I got home. So yeah, it's been amazing, man. I used to always talk about it, you know, behind the wall, like, man, we got one city versus seven cities. Like, I'm going to get money in all seven cities. And now it's like, it's a blessing because that's what I'm doing.
Right. And see, I also write for a magazine. It's called Behind the Walls.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to also get your input and put your article in the magazine because you can be an inspiration to other people that's locked up, man. You know what I mean? And you did it. And you did it the right way. So when you got out, you was working. What made you decide, hey, I want to start my own business? And how was it? Because, man, I think that is the hardest thing to do is start your own business and knowing what you want to do.
Yeah. Actually, man, I remember it like it was yesterday, man. Like I just literally got fed up with how I was being treated. And, like, some days I would work 20 hours. You know, at my job, and for the little pay I was getting, it's like, you know, your boss come in, it's like, I did 99 things, but you're going to pick out the one thing I didn't do or that's not to your liking. And I'm like, you know, so I got tired of all of that, man, and I just felt like I was making them even richer by everything I was doing. Like, I was giving my heart and soul to that company. So I'm like, why not start some of my own? You know, I don't have kids. I don't have a kid that I can pass it along to, but just, you know, being able to say that, hey, I did this, is enough for me. You know what I'm saying? So I just woke up with that mindset, and that's how I wake up every morning, man. I got to grind. I got to get it.
And, you know, I'm the same way like that at my job. They be trying to, you know, and it's like when you're working for somebody, they always find something wrong. This ain't right. And I be like, you know what? I'm about to do something on my own.
Yeah, yeah.
And I seen that you had did it. I'm like, okay, I can do it. But I have to be specific on what I want to do and how I want to do it.
Yeah.
And what I want to know, how did your family perceive you once you went to jail, but then you got out and you started your own business?
Oh, man, if you can see my face now. Well, yeah, you know how that is, man. For me, I got a big heart.
You know, we the black sheep if you keep getting in trouble. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm looked at like that. I believe, but I just keep telling myself every day, you know, hey, I worked hard for this. I deserve to be able to boast a little bit, or you know, hey. Or try to, you know, tell my story. Some people say when I'm telling my story, it's like I'm, you know, boasting, bragging, or whatever, that I got this and that. It ain't. I just want somebody to hear the message. So,
yeah.
You know, that's, when you come up, man, anybody, they love you, you know. Now, you know, with the business, I've been running at full potential. It's like, you know, everybody come back around. That's the way it always is, man. But, I don't send nobody away or show no bitterness or whatever. It's just, you know, I still love my fam, man. And that's, you know, that's how it's supposed to be.
Definitely. And, you know, that's for me, too. Like, when I started this writing thing, you know, everybody's like, oh, you're going to fail. You're not going to be able to do it. You ain't able to do this. You're just trying to get rich. And when I was finally going places and doing different things, everybody was shocked. You know, because it's like for me, I had to grow up.
Yeah.
And in that process of growing up, I found out who I was.
Right.
Tell us who Hawk Mosby Jr. is.
Well, man, I feel like now I'm a businessman. I got a big heart. You know, I try to help anybody. I give anybody a job, a chance. I don't look anybody over, you know. I'm down to earth, you know. I ain't really looking at this entire business thing like get rich overnight. I try to help people along as, you know, I'm trying to get rich. So it's going to come. It's, you know, I look at it all like it's a blessing. But me personally, man, I'm just blessed, man. I'm a blessed man.
Okay. So, do you have employees working for you?
At this time, man, because I'm so energetic, man. I started out the company by myself. You know, doing 10, 15 jobs a day by myself. So right now, kind of slow season, but I pretty much do anything outside. So it's a lot of jobs that I can do by myself. If I feel like I need help, I get somebody to help. But you know, until springtime, I got it, man. You know, I just got the mindset. Somebody got to do it, like my old boss used to tell me. So I go get it done.
Okay. That's great. So growing up and, you know, we living in Lynchburg, did you ever think that you would have your own business?
Nah, to be honest, man. I was always clear, you know, I wouldn't make it to 18, you know. You know, everybody thought I would have all these kids. And, you know, I grew up in one of the worst projects out there, man. Anybody from the Bay listening, know, man, I grew up in Greenfield. You know, I grew up in all the roughest parts in the city, man. So it's like,
yes,
it was survival mode. And, I mean, I never left there. Even after I grew up, that's all I knew because we had nothing. When I say we had nothing, we had nothing. I used to get teased in school, out of school. Like, I had nothing.
That was a war zone back in your time.
It definitely was, man. It definitely was. It still is, but, you know, I pray for them brothers, man, because I go back there to this day. I go back, you know, through Greenfield and I show love, you know, I stop through, but, you know, I don't stop and hang out, but I'll speak to people and I feel bad for them because I'm like, man, like y'all still stuck out here doing the same thing, but I don't look down on nobody for what they're doing because I was there myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just try to give them a few words and then I go on about my business.
Okay. Do you what kind of community work do you do? Do you give back, or do you go, you know, and try to talk to others about, you know, changing our life for the better?
I've always been asked about going back, and you know, especially back to Lynchburg. My big brother, man. Shout out to my brother, man, Sterling Sider, out there, council member, man. He the best, man. He was my big brother through big brother, big sister program. You know, he filled in that father spot for me, you know, because my dad wasn't there, you know, as me coming up as a kid from like 7 or 8 on up. So Sterling was there for me. Now he got a youth center that's right beside Greenfield. So I stop at both all the time when I go through there. It just amazed me, man. Like I try to talk to different people, but, you know, some people going to do what they're going to do. I was raised right, and I still did what I did. So all I can do is put the word out there, try to get some people some insight.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. So you is a black entrepreneur. Congratulations on that, man, because, you know, not a lot of black people have their own business in these days and times. With the way the world is going and the economy is going, it's crazy. So, with the coronavirus up, and you actually get a lot of business.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, I pray for those. You know, with Corona and you know, in the medical field, and but yeah, I've gotten a lot more business since Corona. Of course, you know, people working from home, and you know, they got more time to look at that nasty looking yard and give me a call. But yeah, man, I don't take it for granted, man, because I know it's a lot of people out there who can't work in these times. So I definitely take it as a blessing. I don't take it for granted.
Yeah, that's definitely a blessing. And man, I'm inspired by you to want to push even harder than what I'm doing. You know what I mean? And it's as great that I can see somebody from my hometown who's doing great things, and just being the best that he can be, man. And it's just an honor to be talking to you. Well, we're gonna take a quick break, and we're gonna come back and finish chit chat.
All right.
Hey, I'm just curious. Niggas can't be serious. Woke up like, what year is it? Niggas on they period. My chains done gave me some. It ain't no curing it. I seen dirt, heard up close, bitch, ain't no fear in it.
My name's Superior. Brownie be trapping, they throwing a couple hundred just so you could deliver it. You said if he robbed me that you was gonna kill him. I said today, I'm just curious. I told her don't put me on child support, I'ma give exit, but she wasn't hearing it. I take you around the killer, the robber, the shooter, just for the experience.
Hey, don't try to dodge, you make up your bed, you laying it, niggas ain't hearing it. I get your bitch in that Bentley, she gon' see some shit she never experienced. I am a captain, I get you crushed and put in a box, no cereal. This automatic, hit that whip, nothing gon' help, nigga, short of a miracle.
Trying to make a million off a blood of straw, but his P.O. is not clearing him. Trying to make an Eminem, but he couldn't do it, that shit was killing him. And I grew up in the ghetto, I ain't never hang around gentlemen. Bought the drugs, take the drugs, niggas in the hood ain't really trying to get it. You'll be surprised what your brothers do. Don't be surprised what his brothers do. Could've feel my face when I popped that ecstasy. Could've feel my face off first, I just took three.
And my little bro could've died next to me. But I shot first, get them a stretch, please. Them chopsticks got his body 10 degrees. Somebody should've told him we part Japanese. Bro by the mill, he tryna catch the weed. This bitch tryna get me to invest in weave. I told her yes, just to finesse that freak. After I fuck, I'm playing hot go seek.
I done been through so much shit in my life, I be acting to win the pain stop. Used to ride to school, mongoose, now in the raindrop. Is you is who you say you is. You can't be who you is, you play with grits.
You play with dirt, yo, pick out your box. I'm good on my block, good on my block. They in they feelings, cause I smoke on ops. I hope they know 100 shots don't stop. I just been trying to save it. They keep on making it hard. They keep on making this jury. They keep on making these cars. That pump hit him is gonna lift him up, and that nigga gonna make it to Mars. On track, then confirmed. That shipment should make it tomorrow.
50 to 100 stacks on your head, I bet you won't make it tomorrow. Let me know your crib all night, no sleep, they drinking Starbucks. I'm talking boss life. You say my name one time, I'ma tell them I fucked your boss wife. I know her cheek, she wipe her face off with my off white. I forget you, but that love made me. I popped some ecstasy that thug gave me. Shout out that new op pack, my brothers made it. Don't play with them boys, cause they over crazy. Whoa.
Welcome back to the Author's Lounge, brought to you by Drifter Mike. And the call in is 646-378-0355 if you want to speak or if you have anything you want to say. And Mr. Hoffman, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
My producer is going to ask you a couple of questions.
All right, yes, sir.
Good evening, my brother. How you doing?
Great. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. First of all, welcome to the show. thank you for bringing some of the gems and just some of the information that you bring in. Secondly, I just want to congratulate you on your resilience. As a felon myself, kind of made the same, you know, kind of did the same things myself. And with me doing that, I understand and I respect the type of resilience that you need to be able to accomplish our goals as felons. We're already born with our skin color. You know, that's the first strike against us in life, period. And then we go out there and, like, fuck it up. And, you know, we get felonies and shit. And that's just feeding into the hands of those who don't want to see us succeed, right? So with those challenges, and I'm sure there were other challenges as well, but with those two spearheading challenges right there, I just really respect you for just being resilient enough to understand what your goal was, understand the steps that you needed to take to hit that goal. So I just really want to give a big up to you for that, my brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. So my question to you is this. So I heard you say that about 6 months, you said your last bid, I heard you say it was somewhere between 6 months and a year.
No, I went in 2009 and came out 2016.
Uh-huh.
So I did like 7 years and 3 months on an 8-year sentence.
Okay, so it was the end of your bid where you just
started,
you know, kind of planning for your future.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. So my question would be then, it's obvious the decision was already made when you breached those doors, when you first hit the concrete again. Can you talk about what it is that you did? Like, what I mean by that is to kind of put that goal more so in focus. Did you kind of disassociate yourself with the environment and the surroundings that kind of put that pressure on you to, you know, get back out there in the streets and get back out there in the game and do shit? Or kind of just held your head high and just maintained and stayed focused within the same area? Which one of those did you do?
For me, it was making the decision on the inside that I wasn't going back to my hometown, because, you know, that's where I was born and raised. That's where all my troubles have been, is in the one city of Lynchburg. It's been like my kid
right.
my whole life. So, you know, I had options as to where I wanted to go to when I got released, and I just kept saying to myself, I know I can't go back, because that wasn't my first bit. That was my second bit as an adult. And I've been locked up juvenile.
Right.
You know, it was an ongoing thing. And it was like, I got tired of it. It took me that long to finally realize that wasn't my place. Like, I deserved more. So, yeah, when I was in there, I just was like, okay, I'm going to choose to go to, you know, 757 and get this a try. So I didn't have that pressure on me.
Wow. Well, I definitely send you a big congratulations on that. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like I said, with me, it was the same thing. You know, like, I'm from the streets of Oakland, California, man. And I'm telling you, dog, like people underestimate when I say this, or people think I'm just joking or some shit like that. But the Oakland police do not want to see you doing right. Like, the more that you're doing right, the more you're doing to improve yourself, is the harder they're going to go on you. Because in their eyes, if you make improvements and get yourself out of their situation, then I tried that. You like the Oakland police, they're known. They're known worldwide for their tactics. We've had to call outside people in to monitor them, get their community to monitor them and everything. They're just really, 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 really dirty. And so they have this thing, I'll say this when I get out the way. They have this thing called five-year felony four-way search clause probation. Basically, what that is, and they're handing it out like candies. They just handing it out to pretty much every black inmate. So what that is you're on probation for 5 years, or parole, whichever one, and you have a four-way search clause, meaning that. At any point, you don't have a probation officer, but in exchange for that, at any point, you can be stopped and searched. Now, why it's called a four-way search clause is because the four things are your person, anybody that's with you, the vehicle that you may or may not be in, not driving, just in, and your home if they're close enough. They could take you. They could take you to your house if they just want to be assholes, if they like an hour out. But you know, normally they don't do it. But if it's in your area, in your neighborhood, they go right to your house and they search your house. And it can happen at any time, whenever they feel like it. You have no recourse for that. That's just what it is. And so the reason I brought that up is because I had made my decision. I did like five bids. I made my decision after my fourth one, right? And I took the steps. I was employed. I was doing everything I needed, but I still had like a little tiny itty bitty side hustle. I was selling weed, and I'm talking about the amount I was selling wasn't even enough to. I mean, I wasn't doing nothing big at all. Just a little help, just to help out my paycheck from work, basically. And so I was like, man, I'm done with this shit. I'm done with this life. I wasn't connecting with nobody. However, I don't know if they heard. They knew I was working. I was at my job for like 2 years, I think, 2 or 3 years. Next thing I know, one morning, I'm getting dressed for work, and they just raid my house. They raid my house. And I think they found like less than an ounce of weed. This was before weed was legal. Found like less than an ounce of weed. And I ended up going back and doing a year of probation violation for that. Even though I was able to prove that I was gainfully employed, I had done everything. I met all my conditions and everything. And so I just say that to say, like, with me going through so much shit, trying to, and then finally getting it right in, like, 2008, 2009, it's just does my heart good to see another person like myself that looks like me, talks like me, acts like me, been through similar of what I've been through, and is succeeding. It just really does my heart well. And again, I can't say congratulations enough for that.
I appreciate it so much, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for bringing it to the show also.
Appreciate it.
So, Mr. Moses, I want you to let everybody know how they can get in contact with you if they need, well, the people in the 757 area, how they can get in contact with you. And, you know, and explain to them what you do.
All right. I'm pretty much on all the social media sites, Instagram, Facebook. You can hit me up. House Lawn Care Services. Go up there. Please like the page. Please give me a review. You know, you can get in touch with me as soon as you, go on there and say that you need a service. I have an automatic message up there that will come right back instantly and let you go ahead and set an appointment. I do free estimates, same day estimates at that, which is pretty much unheard of. And in most cases, I do same day services as well. But we pretty much do anything outside, man, from land, you know, concrete driveways, tree work, to redoing the whole yard, reseating the whole yard, or, you know, flower beds, pretty much anything outside, I got it.
That's great, man. I want to thank you for coming on the show, man, and I just want to let you know congratulations, and you are truly an inspiration. Thank you so much.
I appreciate the opportunity, man.
Any shout-outs you want to go on? Shout out to while you're on the station.
Yeah, definitely, man. Shout out to the fiance, Renee Johnson. Shout out to my support system, man, so I just don't leave anybody out, whether it's 757 or back home, man. If you ever supported me or showed any love, man, I love you back. Anybody who needs to get in contact with me, my number's plastered everywhere, 757-202-8770. I can get you pretty much anything outside done. But I love y'all, man. I appreciate y'all, and I appreciate y'all's support.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show, my man.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Now, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, the next person, he is going to make this mic drip. He's going to grace us with a song. I was going to tell you his name, but I'm not. I just waiting to have to break to surprise you. And welcome to the Author's Lounge. Welcome back to the Author's Lounge. First, I want to give a shout out to Michelle Canadina. She does TLC life-changing products. You can lose up to 5 pounds in 5 days. Real results that you can see, look, and feel. Great. Time to invest in you. You can reach her on Facebook at Michelle Canada or Instagram at Michelle_Canada. Now, our next guest is from Forest, Virginia. He writes plays, and he's also a singer. And he's going to bless us and grace the mic tonight for us. Mr. Daniel, are you on?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Oh, man, I'm doing. I'm okay. I ain't going to say I'm great, but I'm blessed to be living.
All right. I'll take that.
Do you want to give your contact information before you sing or after you sing?
I'll do it after.
Okay. The mic is yours.
Okay. Well, I'll be singing Destiny, which is my new song out. So I feel like that's an appropriate song to sing. Is that all right?
All right. Yep.
All right. Everybody's going through some changes. Highs and lows, ups and downs, different stages. Do you see your destiny revealing through what feels right? Can you feel your destiny revealing through what feels right? Can you see your destiny revealing through what feels right? Can you see your destiny revealing through what feels right? Can you see, 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 do you see your destiny revealing through what feels right? Can you feel your destiny revealing through what feels right? There you go.
Okay, thank you, thank you. So, tell the little audience a little bit about yourself and give us your contact information. And I thank you for coming on the show.
Okay. Well, the contact information will probably be danielbarksville.com. That's the quickest way to get in touch with the plays, like what's going on in town. And also for my music, people can go to the website to see like the new songs and the old songs to get links, you know, they can listen to it on Apple Music, Spotify. Wherever they want to listen to their music, you can go to the website and be linked to my music and also find out more about the plays.
Okay, tell them a little bit how you got into playwriting.
Well, it started in 2012. I wrote my first play called Meet the McCarters. And basically, I mean, at the time, it was presented at my church, Forest Level Baptist Church. It was in the sanctuary. And I didn't really take it seriously back then. But 5 years after that, people were coming to me asking me, like, when you're going to, like, write another show. And I was really not thinking about plays at that moment because I was still doing, I mean, music, which I'm still doing now. But I wrote my show then called Addicted. And our first show was sold out. I thought only 40 people was going to be there, but the fellowship hall at the time could seat like 90-something people. And we hit over that with the seats that we put out, and people were buying their tickets at the door, people who didn't have their tickets. So from that moment on, I knew that this was something that people wanted too, along with the music. So I that's how I really got into playwriting and doing plays.
That's awesome, awesome, awesome. I want to thank you for coming on the show. And, man, that's good. And hopefully I can contact you. I have some play ideas, too.
Okay, all right. Well, like I said, go to the website, and, you know, that's, like, the quickest way to get in touch. And, you know, like I said, I'm always down to hear other ideas and, you know, collaborations with people, because that's how we make it, is through working together. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you again.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Our next guest hails from the panhandle of Florida, and he is a poet. As he says, poetry. Mr. Darren Lee, are you on the line? Yes. All right.
Yes, I'm on the line.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Hello. So how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good. How you doing? How you going?
I'm doing great. So, Mr. Darren, you are a poet.
Yes, sir.
Okay, what made you get into poetry?
I got into poetry at a really young age, which is actually sometimes I'll turn into a book. What happened when I was young in elementary school, and, you know, we grew up a little disadvantaged as a community and as, like, a household. My mom, she's a single mother, and, she, you know, we had bills and stuff that was getting cut off, and one day I'd actually asked her, I said, you know, like, you know, I was trying to, like, figure out why everything kept getting cut off, and I was like, dang, I need to make money. That's what it is. It's this money thing. It's me in elementary school, and, you know, she can even tell the story. I went to school, and I took what I was good at. I was good at writing. I was good at drawing. So I would ask kids in the classroom, like, hey, you know, let me draw, you know, like Pokemon or like something from Toonami, you know, Dragon Ball Z for a dollar, or like some candy or whatever they have, you know. And I did that for writings as well. And even to this day, a lot of my homies and homegirls, they still show me stuff like, hey, man, I remember when you wrote this one, we was elementary school, you know, they still got it. So, yeah, definitely. That's how I kind of came about, just honestly just tapping into what naturally felt good for me, which was writing and words and just art in general.
Okay, that's what's up. So you say you went to the military. How was that experience like?
The military was cool. I met some of my best friends in the military, you know, besides the people I grew up with. I met some really good friends in there. And also I was on submarine, so definitely a different world, playing underwater and learning a lot of different systems and a lot of different just intelligence. So, yeah, it was cool.
Okay, what part of the military did you go to?
I was on Navy. I was in the Navy.
Oh, you went to the Navy. I went to the Navy also.
Oh, you was in the Navy? Okay, cool. That's dope.
Oh, yeah.
What was your OS?
OS.
Oh, you was OS? Okay, dope.
Yep,
operation specialist. Yep, operation specialist, yeah. We had a real cool film.
Did you write a book or poem?
Yes, it's so it's like a mixture of both. And, you know, like I always tell people, this ain't like to hype myself up, but I've really never seen anything like it in the sense of like how I kind of laid it out in the formatting. So it's definitely unique. It's I'm big on science, so it's chaos and order. That's like kind of like the form of the book, and the pages are black and white. The chaos side is all black because everything comes from the chaos. That's like the God principle. Like out of darkness came light. So darkness was obviously there first, the chaos side, and that's the poetry, which is like I call it like the words of the gods, because it's you know what I'm saying. There's no grammar, there's no structure really. It's just kind of just your emotion poured on paper. And then the white pages in the book are the order side, which is like how humans come in and we kind of create order and in certain, you know, chaotic forms and different things. But the order side is the prose. It's poem and prose back to back from each other. So yeah, it kind of breaks it down on both sides.
Okay. What inspired you to be a poet?
Just the love for words, really. Being able to really, in a sense, when you're using words, you're casting like a spell. You know, that's why they call it spelling. Whenever you put in like symbols and different letters together to create something, it's really a spell. So I enjoy the art of evoking emotion and like getting the raw form and the raw version of people. I enjoy that part of writing. That's honestly why I enjoy what I do, because it's healing. It's revealing. It's exposure. It's people to get that raw sensation and get that raw response from people. And I like to get that feeling of, you know, this is all natural. It ain't no cover up, no nothing. Like, this is it. So I like that feeling. It's dope.
So how old was you when you started doing poetry?
In elementary school, like I was saying the story, yeah, definitely elementary school. Started off pretty early. It wasn't definitely as extensive as now, of course, but, you know, it was definitely back then I started putting words together. And also my stepdad, he was he kind of really aided on it, too. He aided the situation as well and assisted with it because he seen our love for words, me and my brothers as well. And he used to have us do rap battles, you know, in the kitchen. So, you know, our kind of love for words kind of was enhanced and edified in that manner as well, just from him just kind of like catering to it.
Okay. What's this up? So where do you see yourself going with your poetry? What would you like to do with it?
Well, I have a lot of different angles I want to take with it. I definitely want to do some film with it. Like some, maybe like some short films with it and kind of maybe like turn into like some type of plays in a sense. I want to definitely do some merchandise. I feel like some of the sayings are really catchy and stuff. So like something that people can wear around and kind of represent in their day-to-day life. And as far as my books, the first one, the poetry, is the only one. I wrote maybe 3 to 4 books that I've about to finish number 4, but I've only published one. And poetry was a Amazon bestseller, so I would like to make it more on like that New York Times, you know what I'm saying, like global recognition for it, because I really feel like it's good information. So I think those would be the goals. A lot of plays, a lot of short movies, merchandise, and definitely just getting global recognition, people getting the information.
Tell me about that experience, that's being on the Amazon bestseller list, and how did you go about doing it?
It's really just picking the right, your right niche and kind of just capitalizing on it, just building up. I've been doing digital marketing for 7+ years now, and one of the biggest things that we always preach is just build an email list, you know, like create an email list so that you can always have, like, residual contact with these people. Like, you can constantly be in contact with these people. You can retain them better when you have an email list. Text messages. Marketing is even better, but it's hard to get people's numbers, you know, because that's just people's personals. They don't like to give out their number like that online. But definitely build an email list, a pre-order list, and kind of market the book before it even comes out. You know, get the hype of it. You know, throw little quotes and passages from it just to get people excited about what's more to come. And then once it drops, you know, hey, just promote it. It's really like, you know, it's a hustle. Everything's a hustle. So, yeah.
Man, that's awesome. I'm definitely going to contact you because I'm going to use you. I'm going to need your help, especially you do digital marketing. That is awesome. So
yeah.
Why don't you give us a little poem?
Sure. Definitely. I'll kick off something light. I don't know the full scope of the audience. So let me find something light to kick off. And I always tell people I don't remember my poetry. People always be like, dang, why don't you remember it and recite it? I'd be like, I write so much, like I have at least in my notes on my phone alone, it's over 2,000 notes I have. So it's like some stuff I just write because it's situational and I won't be able to evoke the same emotion as that day, you know, because it's personal. But I try not to get too attached to the writing, so I don't remember. I literally just write. I do a quick edit. If I like it when I hear it on that day, then it's kind of like, you know, that's it. Like, it's good to go. Yeah. But I will definitely read one off. Hold on 1 second.
Hey, Hezzy. I'm sorry, my brother. I am so sorry to interrupt. But I got to be a little bit rude right here. I got to be a little bit rude right here. I'm loving the interview. You already knew I was coming in. I'm loving the interview. I really am. I'm like really getting some good information. But my brother, you are this whole network, the Dripsomite network that you're on, started off as a poetry network before we branched out. So we're all like you our audience is all poets. That light shit you was talking about? No, that's not gonna cut. I'm gonna need you to go hard.
You gonna definitely have to bring
me. I'm gonna need you to go.
I definitely forgot to tell you that.
He's lucky the queen ain't here. If my wife was on the show right now, she would give it to you way rougher. I'm the nice one.
I didn't mean like in content. I was meaning like in like verbiage, because I do have some ones that have a lot of heavy like swearing and you know sexual.
Ain't no locks on nothing. We do it right. We ain't got no handcuffs on nothing here. You can say what you got to say, my brother. I'm talking about this network does all genres of poetry, So, no, go hard. If you got some hard shit, we would love to hear it. Trust me on that, my brother.
Okay, I'm gonna kick something fresh.
But you tried it though. You tried it.
He tried. Hey man, I appreciate it though. I appreciate the love. Okay. Well, this one is called Real Estate. And it's from my new release, Hoetry. And like I said, it's wrote in chaos and order, so I'm going to read both of them. But this is the chaos side. I was real. I was real estate, but treated like legal fiction. Had my pussy Airbnb carried by many for short stays and weekend addictions. Afflictions by my past tenants, ones who touched all my walls, hung photos of us just to tell us that we're not involved. New tenants notice old bags from past mishaps, dustless squares on the wall from memories we once had, furniture torn, invisible scratches on the door from men who were trying to escape me but never had the guts to come forth. Feeling sheltered in shelter, mind closed, options open, even if you were in this house, believe me. I still have a for sale sign out on the line, listing in the newspaper, just in case I get a tenant with a better job and credit than you. I was being precautious. Shit, you called it pretentious. Because though you've been here for this long time, these walls still feel like first and one night stands, because I truly never knew who you were. There's not enough water in this house nor soap to cleanse from you. If love was rent, you're past due. Hell, my first tenant was my uncle, drunk as he stumbled and fingered his way into my doors, whispering into my attic, saying everything is good and it's all yours, and please just give me a little bit more and more and more, and I'm grown now, trying to build equity in myself. Bad tenants tore me down, made me not believe in my health. I'll leave, my gate cracked, but won't open up my doors. On social media is the only time you will see my decor. Move-in dates come with first and last month's rent, security potted, and some gifts. If you're looking to stay here, it's all business. You on bond. Take awareness of my interest. Set up a trust. Give me appreciation. See the D? We need a CD. A promised return. My mind's ROI is happiness, and my happiness is mine. And that's the chaos side, and this is the order side. We are friends because we share a common interest, and we see an asset that we can both benefit from mutually and respectfully. So we write up an offer for consideration, stating that we look to have appreciation for the asset that we have consideration for. Then we establish a trust between us and for the appreciation of what we have occurring. We secure that trust with a security that states that we properly protect as owners the asset that we are both interested in and are generating appreciation from. The outcome is income. The goal is wealth. Every relationship should start off as a friendship. Every friendship is a business. Make sure the interest is right, you're receiving consideration, and granted appreciation for what you're establishing. With it, you should be seeking wealth spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and no more bad tenants in this house. And that's it.
I hear you. I hear you. That's awesome. So growing up.
Thank you.
Growing up.
Say again.
I say growing up, was when you start writing poems in elementary school?
Yes, definitely, definitely.
So what did the females think?
Of course, you know, women loved it. I even wrote that poem in a female's perspective. Like a lot of the poems in my book, I wrote in a female's perspective just to kind of shine light on, you know, some of their issues that me as a man, I'm trying to understand and respect, because there's certain things, for example, 4 out of 5 women I've been with, like in serious relationships, they've all been, you know, tainted or, you know, molested or had something crazy happen to them from family or close friends or somebody older. So when I was writing the book, that was what I kept in mind. Like, let me make sure that I write in a woman's perspective and kind of show a little, you know, a little understanding of what I can kind of perceive of it. So, yeah.
Okay. So when you got out the military, was you still writing poems? Did you do your book while you was in the military or when you got out of the military?
I finished it when I got out of the military. I wrote a few of them, a good amount of them, while I was in the military, while just being on submarines. It's like a writer's dream because you're underwater, no technology. You know, you just kind of got you and, you know, your pad or whatever you use. But, yeah, I kind of finished it once I got in the military.
Okay. So who inspired you to who's one of your gave you inspiration to write? Which poets did you look at to kind of see where you wanted to go with this?
Okay, definitely. So I got like a bunch of black and white pictures in my room of different women that inspired me. I got them all hanging up on my wall. But the biggest one was definitely Toni Morrison, just as a writer in general. She inspired like that splash, like her wording, how she structures words and stuff. I definitely give props to her, like, you know, rest in peace and everything. But yeah, definitely she inspired a lot of it. Of course, the Maya Angelou's that have that real deep feeling and just real, like, real proper, it's more proper. You know, Toni Morrison's a little bit more jazz, like her book. But Maya Angelou definitely gave me some structuring as far as, like, putting different words together, too. So, yeah, definitely. Them two are probably, like, the biggest ones. And also Charles Bukowski. He's dope. Real dope, too. He definitely.
Yeah. You know me, I can't do no poetry at all. But it seems like when I kind of, like, write my books, it kind of all comes together. So, what's your difference between being a poet and being an author and telling your story?
You said the difference between being a poet and an author?
Mm-hmm. And telling your story.
I would say being a poet, you can kind of, you know, a poet's like kind of, it's to yourself. Because being a poet, anybody can be a poet, and, you know, you don't have to publish your work. But I think once you go to publish your work to become an author, it's kind of like you get really nervous. Like, I had plenty of books that I kind of, like, wrote before this one, but I decided to release this one. But it took years. Like, it's like this is like a 5-6 year process of just writing and with the intentions of writing a book. But just nervous, you know, just, you know, anxious, like, ooh, I don't know how they're going to take that. You know how it is when you're starting anything, a business or you're buying a new car, whatever it may be, having kids. And these are like, you know, writing or whatever your passion is, it's like your child. You know, it's a creative baby or, you know, it's a creation. So, yeah, definitely you get nervous and you get a little alarmed. So definitely I think being a poet was cool. It's fresh. I'm just having fun with it, you know. But actually being an author is like it's – being an author is like, dang, people are judging me. You know what I'm saying? So you just throw your work out there to be judged by the world. So it's a little different.
You know, for me, being a poet, it's like pulling my hair out.
Pulling your hair out, dang.
I'd be trying to put together a poem, and I'd just be like, nah, man, you know, just forget it. Stick to what I know. You know what I mean?
No, I get it.
And it's like,
Everybody has their gift, you know. You know, everybody has their thing.
It's like some people just got it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Are you a good freestyle poet, or are you a good poet that just writes on paper?
Like I said, we used to rap battle in the kitchen, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I get a word or something, I'll just throw something together. I can definitely just throw something together. It might not make sense completely, but I can throw something together, just having fun with it.
Okay, okay. So how did your family perceive you being a poet?
I think they already knew I was kind of, I was different. I was always, you know, different in the sense of, like, if everybody went left, I went right. Not because I was trying to be different, but I just wanted to know more. I always figured at a young age like that, it's more to it. You know, there's always more to something. And even just growing up in the type of household I grew up in, definitely I always was just wanting to explore a little bit more. Like, if it was Pan-Africanism that was going on, like, okay, well, I need to go read a little bit more on Malcolm X or Marcus Garvey or these people. And if it was Christianity, it's like, okay, well, these people aren't speaking English back then. I need to read a little bit more. Like, well, they speaking Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, you know what I'm saying? So I was always one of those people with a Concordian or something in my hand that I just needed a little bit more. So they kind of knew I was, like, always a deep, wise dude, chill, funny, goofy. So, yeah, I think they took to it pretty well.
Awesome. So, have you entered any poetry contests? Just just to get your work out there.
Just recently, honestly, the best thing that happened, like, with social media right now is Clubhouse. Clubhouse has been crazy. Like, they got mad poetry groups and rooms and networking rooms and people that just
Clubhouse
love just the sport.
Expensive though. Good gracious, man, they're trying to hit you in the head.
Oh, what? How you getting charged? They charge you on Club?
Do they charge you?
No, it's free. It's a free app. You know, you just go in there and you just kind of just set up rooms and you just talk. It's like, you know, like little rooms you set up. Nah,
I don't know.
But
maybe I got a fake email or something, but they try to charge me about $500 to join Clubhouse.
Yeah, if they did that, then yeah, it's probably somebody that they're seeing how much exposure they're getting. So they're probably sending people out, like, different stuff. Because what Clubhouse is and why you probably got that is, it's like anything. People try to make a market out of it. But to get into the Clubhouse app, you have to be invited. So people are now, they're selling their invites. Because if you're not invited to the party, you know, you can't kick it. So people want to get in. So they like, hey, man, I'll sell it to you for $100. Or, like, your situation, probably $500 to get in. That's crazy. But, yeah. That's all it is. I got a free invite, though. If you're trying to jump in, let me know. Just hit me up after this. I'll shoot you an invite.
Definitely.
For free.
Definitely. That's how I got in with Fiverr. I was in Philadelphia at the time, and I wanted to do a book signing at WeWorks. And the girl, she just invited me, man. I met the director of Fiverr. You know, that's before they got popular and was blowing up and stuff. So, you know, I get a little emails, little discounts and stuff like that. You know, that's why I do most of my work when I need my books edited, you know, find different things like that, you know, because that's one thing I hate is editing a book.
Yes, the editing process is really exhausting, truly.
I'm not a comma, period, or a semicolon guy.
I feel you. That's why I'm a poet, too. Look, commas, all that extra stuff, nah. I just want to write. I just want to put words on paper.
So tell me about this digital marketing thing. Is that what you do now? That's your job?
Yeah, I actually work for a company called Black Push that's in Atlanta. So, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I work a digital marketer for them, and I also do my own, you know, self-employed digital marketing for other companies and other stuff on the side as well.
Sweet. All right. My producer is going to ask you a couple of questions since y'all two poets.
Awesome. Definitely. Maybe we can do a freestyle on here.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah, have some fun with it.
No, we definitely should link up, man. Definitely should link up. I'm hearing some gems, man. And your ink game, oh wow, oh man, that was crazy. I love the two sides that you showed on that, and I love the ability to be able to kind of I guess I want to say embrace the woman's role in the piece that you're writing. I thought that was brilliant the way you did that. And I mean, I got nothing but respect. And again, your pen is crazy. It's crazy how I loved it. I loved it. I loved the piece.
So I appreciate
we definitely
it, man.
Need to get you back here, man. And here's some more of your work, man. I would definitely love to do that and possibly work with you.
Definitely. I'm new to all like the networking as far as with my poetry. So I would love to work with y'all, you know what I'm saying, and kind of link up. That'd
be
dope.
Absolutely, my brother. Absolutely. I would love that. Now, has y'all said, I know I heard you say you wanted to hear a freestyle, but I have that I could do that I just wrote. Now, you know, my wife, she's a freestylist. I'm the actual writer. And, I'm not about to do that to my network. I'm sorry. By trying it. No, I could probably do it. I've been writing so long. I could probably do it.
Nah, you got it.
But,
come on, y'all get it together. Let me hear something.
All right, okay. I'm sure you heard. I break my victims down, adjectives, nouns, predicates, and verbs. I was closely observed, stomping the curve, until begging and selling made me a felon. Can't be caught with no weapon, but fuck that, I'm still packing when I'm stepping. Not letting some nerd with nerves test this myth with words. OG in this shit, I serve absurd lessons. My literary aggression is Smith with the weapon like Wesson. My lyrics got no chill. You soft and unskilled. The weak-ass ink spill, nothing hard about you for real. The Smith in your blood is as soft as will. My seal reach 80 proof and toxin filled. This is why I'm ill. You morning sick, hangover because you tried to diss this pulmonologist and got hit with more bars than a Vegas strip. You let your lips spit what your image don't fit. You ain't equipped to live with the choice you made. You thought you wanted fade with this FOI rage, turf-made lyrical hand grenade. With rage, like Carrie on prom night. Keep fucking around, I'll snatch the stuffing out you clown like you under my bed in Poltergeist. I hold my pen with my right when I write, with my wife for my left looking right. Looking at me like, baby, sick 'em. Rip 'em till no more oxygen is in 'em. So I got to make you that provocative victim. Unpredictable symptoms, and I go off like a powder keg. You looking up, cause my word game over your dome like a shower head. Dripping, bar slipping like a transmission from this fatality practicing verbal assassin. When I'm active, I be snapping. I don't clap back because I'll be the first to clap it. I empty my clip, grab a shit, and start stabbing. My pen has a sick imagination, making my words do tricks, roll over and play dead like a Dalmatian. My cadence is exactly prone to committing poetic criminality. Electrocution from my fingers when I write like Raiden ending the fight with a fatality. Actually, my pen's mentality lives a straitjacket reality, so battle me at the risk of your own finality. In totality, I'm exactly the type of poet in which you best to refrain. I've been let off the chain, no filters no, on my bars, deranged, and I aim to disrespect you and your whole lane. I untamed, even take the lowest name in vain, like an insane atheist mutated into a dealer strain. Sue whoop you, Fruit Loop, it's still gang gang. This California stoner will empty that thing wearing a pair of isotoners. No clues, you just a dead as fuck, gone a grave, covered in begonias. We'll rearrange your thoughts. I'm bad for your brain like a neurologist with no diploma. Come back when your pen is grown or do some push-ups, get a little stronger, because I got you with metaphors and analogies like your ID reads, organ donor. And that's my drip.
Ooh, boy. Yo, I feel like I had in some whiskey. I literally felt like I'm over here. I got a button-up shirt on. I just got off work not too long ago. I got some slacks on and some dress shoes, but I literally felt like I had a blunt in my mouth and some whiskey in my hand. I thought I was riding to the spot with you. I didn't know where we was going or what he did to you, but I was riding, man. That no oxygen in him, the shower cap over the head with the transmission. I was like, oh, we riding. I don't know where we heading to.
Yeah, we riding.
Yo, that was dope. That was dope. That's crazy.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah. Likewise, man. I'm a fan. You got an instant fan here, my brother. So I would love to connect with you, hear some more of your shit, get you on the show, get you on a couple of shows, and man, that's rock, bro.
Definitely, let's do that. Definitely. I'm about to say after this, I'll get everybody's contact and everything. We'll definitely link up for sure.
All right. All right. For sure. For sure. For sure. appreciate that, man. And again, it's nice hearing you. Thank you for bringing your gift to our network. We really appreciate you taking the time out just to do that. And you definitely gifted us with something this evening. And I can't thank you enough and tell you how honored I am.
Same, same. I really do. It really is an honor being on here. I appreciate it.
Dearly. All good, my brother. Awesome. All right, y'all. One love.
All right, one love.
All right, Darren. I want to thank you, man, for just coming on the show, man. Just doing what you're doing, you know, a black man doing poetry, you know, that in itself is a great thing these days and times. So, you know, not many people are into literature and art, you know, just expressing myself. And I just want to thank you. So what's your contact information? How can we get in touch with you? Because I'm having a big poetry contest, and I definitely would like you to enter it.
Okay, dope. Definitely, I'll be down for that. To reach me, it's easiest way is really Instagram. It's at Darren Lee _, and that is DARINLEE _. And you can reach me there, add me, follow me, message me, you know what I'm saying, and we can definitely link from there. And besides that, I do have a Gmail you could contact me from, but Instagram is much easier. The notifications, the management of it and everything, definitely, that's best.
All right, man. I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate y'all having me, man. I'm really glad I reached out and everything, and then y'all got back to me, man, because this has been a blessing, y'all. It's been cool.
No problem. This is what we do on the author's lounge. I'm glad to have you, man.
I see. Look, y'all brought people out from the back and everything. I said, oh, it's going crazy over there. Look, if Corona wasn't up, I'd have had to fly out or something. We'd have had to link up first in person. For real.
That's cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure.
And before we close, I want to give my shout out to Latasha Kenzie. She's one of my close associates, man, and I don't watch her do big things. She is now a travel agent, and her slogan is, let's travel together. And if you want to look for somebody that you need to go and travel and you want to do some big things, man, contact her, LatashaKenzie.intletravel.com. That's INTELETRAVEL.com. And I want to thank you all for a great show tonight, man. It was wonderful. I wasn't feeling too hot, but, you know, these guys lighten me up because, you know, these things 6 feet under, and I'm still alive. And I want to thank my producers, AZ and Miss Subliminal, for giving me this opportunity to grace this mic, man, and just have this awesome opportunity to reach everybody who has talent or who just inspired to do great things. You know, in the world today for a black man, it's already hard enough for us to try to strive and do right. But when we come together, man, and we just do great things, man, it's an inspiration to everyone out there, man. So to you guys who was on the show tonight, I appreciate you all. I just want to say thank you all. I want to thank my producers and co-producers and everybody, man. Thank you all, and you all have a blessed night.